I want to call your attention this evening to 2 Timothy chapter 2. I'm going to begin reading with verse 19. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God stands sure, having this seal: the Lord knows them that are His. Let every one who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. In a great house, there is not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some of honor and some of dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. We see here in this verse that he says, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, as it says in the New King James Version, in other words, if you depart from iniquity, if you cleanse yourselves from dishonor, he says, in every house there are vessels of honor, and there are vessels of dishonor, some things that just aren't so honorable until you need them, and then they have a little bit of honor to them. You know, you've got your vessels that you put in your china closet, and your important things that you have that you treasure. But I don't know. I was going to say toilet paper, but everybody kind of started treasuring that here a couple years ago. When you need it, it becomes a treasure too, doesn't it? Nevertheless, he says the things of dishonor in the house, that there are things that you have in your house that, you know, everybody's got a junk drawer. Everybody's got more stuff than we have places to stuff our stuff. We'd be better off getting rid of a lot of that stuff. There's a lot of stuff that we have in our lives spiritually that we'd be better off getting rid of too. And we know it. But for whatever the reason, we don't. Timothy is being taught here as a preacher to teach others to get rid of your stuff. Timothy was to get rid of his stuff. He would go on to say here in verse 22, flee youthful lust, and follow after righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. If anyone cleanses himself from the things of dishonor, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified, and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. I want to call your attention especially to that phrase, useful for the master. I want to examine that a little bit with you tonight. Things that are of dishonor are not useful to our master. Iniquity, from which we are called to depart from, is not useful for the master. He has called us to holiness and purity. We know that military members are stay ready so they can be used at a moment's notice. Rescue personnel stay ready so they can be used at a moment's notice. Where you have paid fire departments, you have the firemen who stay in the barracks of the firehouse. And whether you have a volunteer fire department or a paid fire department, all of their equipment is ready for use. It's staged and ready for them to jump into as quick as they possibly can, to get on the fire truck, and it's maintained and ready for use at any moment. Faithful Christians are to stay ready so that they can be used by Jesus at all times, at any time. The word useful is from a Greek word meaning easily used, useful, translated meet or fit for the master's use, or useful for the master. Other ways that it's translated there in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 21. If you look at 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verses 19 and 20, he says, having faith and a good conscience, which some having rejected, have rejected the faith. Concerning the faith, they have suffered shipwreck, of whom are Hymenaeus and Alexandria, of whom I have delivered to Satan that they may learn not to blaspheme. When one rejects the faith, they are useless to the Lord. Here are two men who were Christians, who were members of the Lord's church, who had joined themselves to the body of Christ. But they had embraced a false doctrine. They had abandoned the faith. They had made shipwreck of the faith. Paul said that such ones are to be delivered to Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. They are not in fellowship with Christ, and they actually blaspheme the name of Christ when they claim they are in fellowship with Him. Their claim they are in fellowship with He who is pure and He who is holy, when their life is a life of unholiness and impurity. Revelation 2 and verse 5. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen. Repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent. Church at Laodicea were patting themselves on the back and saying, we're all pretty good folks here at Laodicea. We're blessed. We love each other. But they had left off the first work. Well, what do you think that might be? The first work of the church? It's the continued work and the continued mission of Jesus Christ. To go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. To let the light of Christ shine in them, that God might be glorified, and they might call those who are in the darkness of their sin out of the world and into the light of Christ. They were comfortable with each other, but they had left off what we now call evangelizing, or trying to spread the gospel of Christ. Why would the Lord remove their lampstand? Because they had failed in the first works while claiming to be the Lord's church. They had become useless to the Lord. When we forget the first work, we're not useful for the master any longer. How can we be ready to be used by the Lord? First of all, Jesus, not the devil, needs to be our master. As we saw here in 2 Timothy, he says, let everyone that names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Name the name of Christ in truth. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13, he says, He has delivered us from the power of darkness and has conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. We're not part of the kingdom of Satan any longer. We don't have to listen to him. We don't have to obey him. We don't have to gratify the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 11, Paul, in writing to Timothy here, talks about how that Luke is with me, and he says, get Mark, meaning John Mark, and bring him with you, for he is useful to me for the ministry. That's interesting, isn't it? Because there was one time when Paul didn't think that John Mark was very useful in the work of evangelizing. He had taken him on a mission, and John Mark wanted to go back home. And it upset Paul. So when he and Barnabas were planning their next mission, and Barnabas wanted to take John Mark with them, Paul opposed him. Didn't think he was up to the task. But time has passed. And now Paul makes the statement, he is useful for the ministry. We don't know what the circumstances were that John Mark left that second missionary journey. We don't know all of the circumstances here, but we do know that he matured and displayed that maturity to such a point to where Paul was able to testify that Mark was useful for him in the ministry. Philemon, the letter that was written to Philemon was about this individual Onesimus, who was the servant of Philemon, who had apparently ran away from his master Philemon and had come into the presence of Paul. And Paul is writing to him on behalf of Onesimus. He says, I know Onesimus was unprofitable to you, but now is profitable to you and to me. He had learned the gospel, obeyed the gospel. He continued with Paul. Paul had come to the time that Onesimus needed to make things right with Philemon, as he had made things right with God. Paul was willing to send Philemon or Onesimus back to Philemon. But he was kind of hoping that Philemon would say, just if Onesimus is useful to you, Paul, just let him stay there with you. But it's an interesting statement, isn't it? He says, Onesimus was unprofitable. He was unuseful to you. He wouldn't be. He refused to be used by you. But now he is profitable to you and to me. We can change, can't we? We can go from being unuseful to being very useful if we will set our heart and our mind to do so. We can be ready to be used by the Lord by having our focus on purity, not defilement. In fact, hate every impurity. Purity needs to be our character. 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 17 through chapter 7 and verse 1 says, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean. And I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and my daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God, in reverence for God. Let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and all filthiness of the spirit. Is that your commitment? Is that your focus? To be pure as he is pure? We are useful for the master if that is our focus of being pure, that we might let his light shine in our lives. We stay ready to be used by the master when we are receptive to his word and his will for us, not closed to any element that he teaches us in. You remember 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 10, the Lord came and stood and called, as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Yes, Samuel was in the house of the priest. And he had heard Samuel, Samuel, and he thought it was the priest calling for him. And he ran out of his room, down to the room. I said, did you call for me? He said, I didn't call for you. Okay. So that happened a couple times, and finally, the priest knew what was going on. He said, the next time that happens, you just say, speak, your servant hears. And that's what happened this time. Samuel answered, speak, your servant hears. That should be our attitude when the Word of God convicts us of our sin. Rather than being closed mind to that call to repentance, we need to respond, speak, your servant hears. When we see someone needs to be taught, we need to realize that we're the ones who see that. And we need to see that that teaching gets done. When we see something needs to be done, we need to realize that we're being called. And we need to have the attitude, speak, your servant hears. I'm ready to serve you. I'm ready to be used by you. To be ready to be used by the Lord, we must be informed, not ignorant of what He would have us to be. Our understanding needs to be enlightened. As we see here in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. Know the word of truth. Be honest with the word of truth. Be humble before it and rightly divide it and apply it to your life. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verses 16 through 18. Also in all of his epistles, here Peter speaking of Paul's epistles, says, speaking in them of these things in which are some things hard to understand, who untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the scriptures. There's some things that Paul writes that are difficult to understand, Peter says, but you can understand them. But, he says, untaught, unstable people twist those scriptures. They're hard to understand, so they'll just twist them and apply them to their own false doctrine. And he says, you know, here's the thing. They just don't twist the scriptures in these difficult passages. They twist all the scriptures to their own way to teach their own doctrine. They do also with the rest of the scriptures. They twist the rest of the scriptures also. You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked. Don't be caught up in society and its sin and its eagerness to practice sin and accept sin and justify sin, but grow in the grace, the favor, and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Be informed. Grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And as we grow in that knowledge and we practice that which He teaches us, we will grow in His favor. One of the reasons we want to grow in the knowledge of the Lord is so that we will be found in His favor. We can know that we are ready for the Master's use when we are ready for the Lord's disposal, not busy, busy, busy with our own schedule. You know, that's our society today. Everybody's just busy, busy, busy. Busy. Busy doing what? Busy doing the things of the Lord or busy with our own agenda? In Isaiah chapter 6, God is lamenting about the condition of Israel, and somebody needs to go and explain their situation before Him. And God is asking the heavenly host, who are we going to send? And Isaiah is listening to all this. And Isaiah says, here I am, send me. You know, and I don't think Isaiah was all that much different than we are. Isaiah saw the magnitude of the mission that was before him. He saw the danger that Israel was in. He saw the necessity for them to repent and to practice the will of God. He probably was very aware of his own incapabilities in a lot of areas. But he said, I'm willing to go. And he knew if the Lord sent him that he wasn't going by himself. He knew the Lord would be going with him. And we need to know the same thing. We need to be busy with the things of the Lord. And when I say that, I'm not just saying about, you know, being busy with a Bible study in somebody's home, although it would be included in that. But we need to be busy in our own homes, in our own marriages, with our own children as parents, as a child toward their parents. We need to be busy conducting ourselves as God teaches us to conduct ourselves in those relationships and building one another up, encouraging each other, pulling together to glorify God. Here I am. Send me. Because let me tell you, God fully expects to send each and every one of us. He expects us to be useful in displaying the kind of relationship a husband and a wife should have and a family should be. He expects that of each of us. We can be useful for the Lord when we are selfless. That needs to be our approach to our possessions. We have a lot of times the attitude of our possessions. Talked about a lot of times, there was a cartoon back when I was a kid growing up. It's funny how some cartoons just kind of stick in your mind. But Daffy Duck, you know, he's a pretty selfish guy. But anyway, there was one thing, he was going around saying, mine, mine, mine. Instead of sharing it with others, Daffy was, no, mine, mine, mine. I'm afraid a lot of times we're like Daffy Duck. We think, oh, it's my time. It's my house. It's my car. It's my body. I'll do with it what I want to do with it. Not if you're a Christian. Your spirit and your body belong to Christ, to do with what He tells us to do with it. In Matthew chapter 21, it says, when they drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethpage, at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord has need of them, and immediately He will send them. And I believe that, you know, Jesus was foreseeing all of this. And He knew the individual and all of that. And He knew this individual was one that He wasn't selfish with His possessions. And if the Lord needs it, take it and use it. If the Lord needs my time, take it and use it. If the Lord needs my house for a Bible study, bring the people in. If the Lord needs me to be spending more time with my family, then I'll spend more time with my family. That needs to be our attitude. that when the Lord has need of what we have, we need to say, take them, use it, use me. Use what you have blessed me with to glorify you. Use our talents. That needs to be our practice. In Matthew 25 and verses 24 through 26, then he who had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew you were a hard man, reaping where you had not sown and gathering where you had not scattered. And I was afraid. And I went and hid your talent in the ground. We're talking about a talent of money, a weight of money. Look, you have what is yours. What you gave to me, I'm bringing back to you. I haven't lost any of it. And his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant. You knew that I reap where I have not sown and gathered where I have not scattered. He goes on to say here, you should have taken what I had given you and at least put it in the bank that would draw interest, a little bit of interest, instead of just burying it in the ground. I don't want back what I gave to you. I expect to get more out of what I entrusted to you. We need to use what God has blessed us with. We need to use our sympathy to the glory of God. We need to use our love to the glory of God. We need to use our dedication to holiness and purity to the glory of God. We need to use our desire for holiness to the glory of God. When we dedicate all of ourselves to Him, then we become useful for the Master. Prepared needs to be our ready status. Titus 3 and verse 1, Paul wrote to the evangelist Titus and he says, remind them to be ready for every good work. This is a faithful saying, continuing in verse 8. These things I want you to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men. It's not enough just to know the good works. It's not enough just to do a good work. It's necessary that we maintain the good works, that we keep doing good works. Let our people also learn to maintain good works, to meet urgent needs, that they may not be unfruitful. When we fulfill these needs that we see, we will be fruitful. But when we see a need and we just leave it undone, he says, we become unfruitful. And so, in brief review of what we've looked at tonight, if we are going to be useful for the Master, Jesus needs to be our Master. Our character needs to be that of purity, striving to be pure as He is pure. Our attitude needs to be that of receptive to the Word of God, receptive to His chastisement, and receptive also to His correction. Our understanding needs to be informed by what He has delivered to us in His Word. We need to be at the Lord's disposal at any moment, regardless of what we might be busy with in our life. Our possessions are not our own, but they belong to the Lord to be used to His glory. Our talents need to be used in the practice of His will and increasing His glory. Our status needs to be that of prepared, ready to launch, ready to go. Speak, Lord. Your servant hears. Maybe you're here tonight and you're not a Christian. You've been thinking about that for some time. Are you ready? Are you ready tonight to make the Lord your Lord? To make the Savior your Savior? Are you ready to wash away your sins in the waters of baptism and rise to walk with Him in newness of life? We would hope so. We are ready to assist you in that. If you're here tonight and you're a child of God and you're out of favor with Him, you need to make correction, let us pray with you and for you on your behalf. If you're subject to the invitation tonight in any way, we encourage you to come as we stand and sing this song.